And now, Ben Bailey.
God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews. Today we're going to take an introductory and overview look at the book of Hebrews to help associate us with the overall message of this wonderful book. The book of Hebrews is all about the supremacy, the majesty of Christ and His covenant. The Bible says in Colossians 1, verse 18, that Jesus is the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. I'm reminded of what Mark said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 37, or rather the people said, they cried out, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. That's a great summary statement of the life of Christ. He has done all things well. And friends, the book of Hebrews cries this message out in a very powerful and passionate way. Hebrews 7, verses 25 and 26 notes this about the Savior. The Bible says, therefore He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. Notice this, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Look at the majesty of Jesus. He's holy, harmless. With sinners, separate from sinners, undefiled. This stresses the wonderful majesty of the Savior. Now, the Hebrew Christians especially needed to hear this wonderful message because some of them were thinking about going back to the old ways of Judaism. Imagine one of those days where nothing seems to go right. You wake up to find out the alarm clock didn't go off. You get out of bed and automatically stub your toe. On the way to the shower, you get in and turn the shower on, only to find out you had no hot water. Stumble out of the shower to the kitchen table, pour yourself a bowl of cereal, only to find out you have no milk. One of those days where you'd rather just crawl back in bed, where it's comfortable, and just start over again. Friend, that's the kind of day the Hebrew Christians were having perpetually. And they were thinking about, because of the persecution, the things that are happening to them, going back to that which was comfortable, that which was easy to them, the way of Judaism. And so the message of the Hebrew to the Hebrews is, don't go back. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to the old way. Christ and Christianity, no matter what it costs you, is far greater than you can imagine. The encouragement of Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, teaches these Christians not to go back. The Bible says in this passage, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but notice, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. His message is, don't go back. The old way won't work anymore. Jesus and Christianity are worth enduring suffering for. That message, the message of don't go back, is such a powerful message also for us today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 illustrates how foolish it is for Christians to go back to the world, to a life of sin, to denominational error, whatever it may be. Peter says it's like a sow having been washed, returning to the wallowing in the mire, or a dog returning to his own vomit. Once we learn the way of truth, we need not go back. We must endure and stay faithful to Jesus all the days of our life. Now, as we think about the book of Hebrews, there are some keys to help us understand this wonderful book. The key words which you will find repetitively in the book are better, much more, or more excellent. This goes hand in hand with the wonderful theme. Christ is better. His way is more excellent, and our faith must be much more than the faith the people had under the days of Moses. And so this book is all about Christ and the Christian way being better. The key phrase that you'll find repeated in the book is found especially in chapter 11, and that is the phrase, by faith. If we are going to endure, if we are going to make it to heaven, it'll be by faithfulness, by trust and perseverance in God and not giving up, no matter how hard it gets. Another key to understanding the book of Hebrews is to have a good association, a good knowledge in the Old Testament. There are over 100 uses of the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews. Friend, you're not really going to understand the book of Hebrews well unless you understand it is deeply rooted and associated with the prophecies and the promises in the Old Testament. Romans 15:4 says this, "The things that were written before time were written for our learning." How true that is when we come to the book of Hebrews and books that especially deal with Christ being better than the old way. And so as we think about the book of Hebrews, we're going to notice a brief outline that will help us in understanding this book. Here's an easy way to break down and remember what this book is about. Chapters 1 through 7 teach us the superiority of Christ. In these chapters, we're going to notice that Christ is greater, greater than angels, greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, greater than Aaron. Then in chapters 8 through 10, we're going to learn that Christ's covenant is better than the old covenant. We now have a new covenant, chapter 8. In chapter 9, we have a greater tabernacle in this covenant. Chapter 10, we have a greater sacrifice than that of the old covenant. Then chapters 11 through 13, Christ and Christian living is better than any other way of life. Chapter 10, the latter half, tells us that we must endure and keep going. Chapter 11, we have that great hall of faith, and we see that under the Christian system, we overcome by faith. Chapter 12 and 13 is an encouragement to greater faithfulness in Christian living. And so this breaks down the book and kind of gives us an overview of where the Hebrew writer is going. Now for just a moment, let us look at each chapter and notice the highlights to prepare us for the days ahead. In chapter 1, the Hebrew writer is going to tell us that Christ is greater than angels. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past by the fathers, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus, in verse 4 and 5, is greater than angels because right now He is sitting at the right hand of God. Christ's revelation is greater than the revelation the angels delivered. In Acts chapter 7 and in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 following, we learn that angels actually delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses, which God wrote with His own hand on Mount Sinai. They delivered the Old Covenant. Christ is greater than angels because He is God's spokesman today, and God didn't send angels to deliver His law this time. He sent His very Son. And so really, Christ being greater than angels is another proof that Christ's covenant is greater than the covenant by which angels were the deliverers. In the latter half of chapter 1, we're going to notice that Christ is greater than angels because He wears a greater name than they do. Christ is seen in chapter 1 as not only being a servant, but a son. He is the very Son of God. And the writer will look back to the Old Testament, Psalm 2, and other passages. "Today, you are my Son, whom I have begotten," God will say. Not a servant, but the very Son of God. We look in chapter 1 again, and not only is He Son, but He is God in the flesh. Remember Matthew chapter 1, "You shall call His name Jesus, Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." And so Jesus is not only the Son of God, He's God in the flesh. But in chapter 1, the Hebrew writer notes this also, that He is the Creator and the Destroyer of this world. He, from the beginning, laid the foundations. They will all roll up like a garment. There is Jesus seen as Creator and as Destroyer of the world. And we must realize how important it is to serve God, not angels. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of people who are focused on angels. You might say we have an angel mania today. People are crazed with the idea of them. But friend, there's something much greater than angels. And that is the very Son of God. God in the flesh, the Creator of this universe. He's the one we need to serve. The Hebrew writer will say in Hebrews 1 that angels, they're just ministering spirits sent to do the will of God for those who will receive salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14, yet Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came as a sacrifice to die for all men. Then in Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to learn that not only is Christ greater than angels, but we have the greater salvation today. How shall we escape, the Hebrew writer says, if we neglect so great a salvation? Under the old law, they were punished harshly if they did not obey the laws of Moses and the laws of God. And his point is, we've got the new covenant. God in the flesh, Jesus, came and delivered that. And how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Chapter 2 teaches us about this great salvation that Christians have. It's greater because of the great sacrifice. Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Jesus is the perfect captain of our salvation. He's the victorious leader whom, if we follow, we'll make it to heaven itself. Jesus offers a greater victory than the victory under Moses. Hebrews 2 verse 14, Jesus through death overcame him who had the power of death, which is the devil. So there's a greater sacrifice, a greater captain, greater leader, and a greater victory. We can, through Christ and Christianity, defeat the devil. And friend, chapter 2 teaches us that there is a greater helper. Hebrews 2 and verse 18, since he has been tempted like us, he's able to aid those who are suffering. This great chapter about the great salvation ends with Jesus being the great helper to those who are suffering. Look what Jesus faced. Look at the tumult, the trials, the division, the spitting upon him, the beating him in chapter 27 of Matthew. Look at all he faced. And since he's gone through that victoriously, he's able to help those who are suffering today. Chapter 3 then teaches us that Christ is greater than Moses. Apart from Abraham, if you were to mention one person in the Old Testament who was a great hero, it would be the deliverer Moses. Led God's people out of Egypt. Led them right up to the brink of the promised land. A great judge and a great deliverer, Moses was. But this chapter teaches us that Christ is greater than Moses, and our faith must be greater than the faith of those who followed Moses. Here's why Christ is greater. Moses was a servant in God's house. Jesus is the Son over God's house.